I'm excited to start Missions Week or Missions Month this week. And as we launch this thing, I want to make sure that we're all clear on why we have Missions Month in our church. First of all, I would say, just as an introductory, what is the name of our church? Turn to somebody next to you and say the full name, no initials. It is in our name, and your name is your destiny. And there was a reason why we called it Harvest. There's a reason why we have mission. There's a reason why we have community, and we are the church, the people of God. And so the first reason that we're having Missions Month is because we believe it is God's passion. It is His heart. It was demonstrated for us and to us of how much He loves the nations, how much He loves people. And so whatever God's passionate about, we want to be passionate about as well. So often we're passionate about a lot of things that really don't matter. At the end of the day, it's not going to really matter in the light of eternity. How big your bank account is or what degrees you have. I'm not saying those are not important. Those are good things, but they're not ultimate things. And so what we forget all the time is that we forget that God is doing things that's according to His passion. And He's passionate about people. He's passionate about the lost. He's passionate about nations and those who do not know Him. There are people in mountains, in cities, and villages all over the world that do not know Jesus Christ. This is God's passion. He is on a mission, and He's wanting to raise up a group of people who will obey and follow Him. The second reason why we are having Missions Month in our church is because it is God's purpose. Not only is it something that He's passionate about, this is why He did everything. When you look at from Genesis all the way through Revelation, this is God's purpose. That's why He chose the Israelite people, that through Him, through the Israelite people, all nations will be blessed. And that's why He preserved the Israelite people, so that through the lineage of Abraham comes forth David. And from David, we see fast forward, comes forth Jesus. And through this, we see that that was His purpose all along. Ultimately, to send His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So not only is it His passion, but it is His purpose. And lastly, it is for His pleasure. That everything that He's doing was so that He will glorify Himself. He doesn't need any of us to glorify Himself. The Bible tells us even the trees and the rocks will cry out His praise. But He is doing missions, and He's giving us the privilege of doing missions because it is His pleasure, for His glory, for His honor. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this just for 1 week. We're not doing this for one Sunday, but we're spending a whole month on this. And this is my heart's desire. And I know it is for Pastor Bo. And as we talked a lot about just how we're going to run this, the theme and everything, it is our desire. Listen to me carefully. It is our desire that every single one of you in this room, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, that you will see that God's heart is for the nations. And somehow through this month, as we connect our Sunday to our life group, even the practical application that I'm going to do today is going to be a little bit different from what we normally do. We're going to connect it to something in life group. And so that our whole experience, from hearing the word, to studying the word on our own, to discussing, to prayer, to activities, to everything we're going to be doing for this whole month, is going to be focused on God's heart for the nations. That through it, somehow, every single one of you will participate in this great mission that He's passionate about, that He's purposely working, and that it brings pleasure. If you want to make God smile, you want to please Him, you want to honor Him, get involved with mission. And I pray that many of you, and also I'm praying that many will respond and go on a missions project. Maybe not this year or this coming year because of different situations, but maybe next year, maybe sometime before you graduate, maybe sometime before things get more busy in your next life stage. I pray that you will be a part of that. So this year we have decided to call it Chosen Generation. And all throughout the Bible, this is what we see, is that God is raising up a generation of His people for His chosen purpose. You'll see this time and time again. And so that's why we believe that we are His chosen generation for today, for this moment in history. We can't change the things in the past, but we can do things that will make impact not only for the present, but for the future. I'm just excited that we could join together with many kingdom-minded churches, even here in Hong Kong. We're not the only one, but there are many who have a heart for God's mission, who are kingdom-minded, and we're going to try to find different ways to work together even in the future. But we're saying right now, God, what is it that you want HMCC of Hong Kong to do? Because there's a calling that's specific to us as we join God's greater movement of his kingdom advancing mission, which is to reach all nations. So we're going to have four parts to this series. I'm just giving you a quick introduction of what we're going to be doing. We're calling it Chosen Generation. Part one, we're going to talk about the importance of proclaiming. I'm going to talk about that today. Part two is break. We're going to break generational issues in our lives. One of the things, when we are a chosen generation, there are things that linger from the previous generation. Some of you are the byproducts of your parents' generation. And I'm not saying culture is wrong. I think culture is a very, very good thing. God loves cultures. But there are a lot of things about culture that hinders us and also blocks the movement of God. So you always have to be critical of culture with biblical eyes. Sometimes saving face, it causes us to lie. I don't think that's a very honoring thing. So we have to be a little bit more critical to say, are we living out God's purposes and mission? So we're going to talk about breaking generational sin. Some of you who come from divorced homes, from your parents, now, please listen to me carefully or you're going to misunderstand me and this is not going to be good. As you know, if you come from a divorced home or a home that is very dysfunctional, unless you, God, by his grace, transforms your life, the likelihood of you walking in that same generational pattern is going to be very high. If you have an anger problem or your dad had an anger problem, the likelihood of you having an anger problem is going to be very high, apart from the grace of God. If some of you, your parents, all they cared about was money and success and what degree, you're like, I'm not going to be like that. Look at my life. I hate my life. Why did I go to the school in Hong Kong? This is called a dramatic pause. And I'm telling you right now, you don't think you're going to do it, but you're going to be just like that to your kids. You're going to put your value on what school they go to, what kind of job that they have. I was pretty certain I wasn't going to do that, but I felt that even as my kids were trying to make decisions on college. Because that was from the previous generation, an immigrant family. So we want to talk about that, and I'm excited even the following week because we're going to be talking about how to then become a generational breaker. We're going to give you specific tools in our encounter gathering. You might want to mark that up and say, I'm going to be there on Friday night because we're going to train you, equip you to how to be a generational breaker, not only for yourself, but to help other people. So it's about an equipping session, so I think it's going to be very helpful. And then the third part is fight. We're going to talk about fighting for the things of God's heart, which is justice. That God's heart is for justice. When you look around, all the injustices that we see, we're going to try to address that. And the fourth part is make, which is obeying our calling to make disciples of all nations. So this is a preview of the next 4 weeks as we engage in the whole month of November into this chosen generation, that we're called to be a chosen generation to fulfill his mission, which is he's passionate about, in which he is purposeful in all that he does, and in which it brings him the greatest pleasure. So let me start off and kind of talk about this first part, proclaim. I'm wondering how many of you have ever given thought, just kind of pondered on the vastness of who God is. A lot of times we're so busy in life, we don't pause and to think like, man, like God is pretty big, or he's kind of, it's beyond my understanding. Or maybe better yet, have you ever thought about creation? The beauty of this world and how everything was created. And then putting it in perspective and in relation to who you are. Of how small we are. A lot of times we don't think like this because we like to make much of ourselves. It's all about ourselves. Things that we like, things that we don't like, things that irritates us, things that make us impatient. It's all about us. Just something that God did some time back in my journey with Him was that I really struggled to understand, God, why am I doing all that I'm doing? I'm going to church, I'm serving, and just, if I could summarize that part of my life, I think all I can say is I was just consumed with myself. It was all about me. And so I would have these questions, but they weren't like good questions. It was just self-centered, selfish questions. Like, what is my purpose? Like, why am I doing this? It's all me, myself, and I. And it was at this time where I decided, you know what? I'm going to just get in the car, and I planned it out. And I for the next 4 or 5 days, I'm going to just make a road trip. And I'm just going to go out west. And as I was kind of planning out this road trip, I realized that I don't know if I could drive all the way through because it was about a 20-hour road trip. So I said, I'm going to try to stop in these different parts, putting gas and do all that. But it was a 20-hour road trip. And right when I got towards the middle of the United States, before going all the way towards the west, as I got tired, I pulled into this thing called a rest area where you could park your car, go to the bathroom, and do all that. And I remember just sitting there and just kind of lamenting over just my own issues. And then from the corner of my eye, I caught something almost like a flash. And when I saw this, I looked over and I realized what was happening is many kilometers away from me, there was a thunderstorm. And in this thunderstorm, it lit up the sky far away. But it wasn't raining where I was. And I remember just sitting in the car mesmerized as I looked out the windshield and I realized, wow, God's creation is amazing. That there is a thunderstorm that are many kilometers away. Here I am. There's no rain coming here. But over there, there's a huge thunderstorm. And, you know, back then we didn't have IG. FB, we don't have any of those things. Instagram, Facebook, okay? So like IV, anyway, like we don't have any of that. But if I did at that time, I would have been taking a lot of pictures and videos to capture the moment. So I wasn't able to do that. So I just found one on the internet as best as I could that described what I saw. So let me show you the picture. It was like this. I mean, just from distance away, there's this lightning just flashing. And it was getting to the point where it was dusk and it was getting to nighttime. And just seeing this, what it did was it just utterly humbled me. I stopped thinking about myself. And I started thinking about the greatness of God. And I realized that in our sinfulness, it is easy to think that somehow we know more in this life than God does. It is so easy in our sinfulness, because we love to worship ourselves, we make ourselves into a God. In our sinfulness, we love to believe that we're in control, when in actuality we're not. And I think this self-centered life, what it does is that it just preoccupies every moment and the decisions we make and the things that we do, where it draws us further away rather than closer to the heart of God. And so I wanted to show you this quick video to help us to kind of illustrate this idea of how relatively small we are in comparison to who God is. And on the background, it's Morgan Freeman, you know, that voice. You know, that voice. It's just like somehow it's like compelling. It's drawing. And so he's going to describe, as some of you probably have seen in many different versions of it, this documentary of just realizing, like, even though we're very important people in the eyes of God, but when you think about the vastness of who God is and all of his creation, we're like a dot of a dot of a dot of a dot of a dot. Times one gazillion. We are so infinitely small. Like, it just seems almost laughable when we get so consumed with ourselves. So I wanted to show this very quickly. Let's watch this together. if you are ever tempted to make much of yourself, put this on repeat and realize we are so small in light of who God is. I like what he said in that last phrase. I don't know if you caught it. He goes, we do not see and we do not know. I mean, can you imagine in just in this vastness of this universe that out of all the different planets and even the different systems and stars, we're talking about in this little place called Earth, there's life. If there's anything that will put you back into size in comparison to who God is, it's seeing something like that. And I share this because I think when we think about our lives and the things that God is calling us to do, the beautiful part is that here's God, the God of the universe, who decided to reveal himself through the person and the work of his death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to reveal himself to people like us. So the more you think about this, the more humbled you will be as you ponder upon how great God is. And this is what we proclaim to the world. The greatness of God. The goodness of God. But here's a thought for many of us, and I think many of us probably wonder, is that why is it that we have such a hard time and we struggle to proclaim who God is? Now, let me pause here and just kind of divert for one moment. I don't think any of you in this room will ever have a problem announcing and proclaiming and declaring that you're going to get married. Trust me. Don't tell anybody. No, you will declare it very loud. In fact, some of you women will find different avenues. Who knows? By the time you get married, because you're still a freshman, there will be other social media avenues that we have never experienced before. Maybe something VR or something 3D. And you're going to be showing your diamond ring in all its splendor. Also, when somebody is about to have a newborn or a newborn is born, we proclaim it, we declare it. Why is it that those situations are so easy to proclaim and declare, but when it comes to the vastness and the greatness of God, we have a hard time? I think for many of us, we are either scared or feel inadequate to share. And something that I try to help people to understand is that your goal is not to try to convert them, even though that's a good thing. Part of proclamation is simply you're just proclaiming, you are just saying it and declaring it. And whether that person comes to know Jesus Christ or that person is more interested in Christianity, that is God's work. He will do that in that person's life. What he calls us to do as part of our responsibility is to proclaim, to declare, to share, to tell. Nowhere he says you got to convert them. Nowhere he says you better come up with some good apologetic reasons. You simply proclaim who God is. That's why I like what John Piper said in his book, Hunger for God. Listen to what he writes. And I think he describes so many of us when we lose sight of what it is that we're trying to do and we lose sight of what it is that we're pursuing after. And this is what I would say and challenge us to think about is what we're helping people to see. He writes this. If you don't see the greatness of God, then all the things that money can buy become very exciting. If you can't see the sun, you will be impressed with a streetlight. If you've never felt thunder and lightning, you'll be impressed with fireworks. And if you turn your back on the greatness and majesty of God, you'll fall in love with a world of shadows and short-lived pleasures. See, the more you understand the greatness of God, the vastness of God, the goodness of God, and who He is, then when people see your life and they begin to experience more of what you're talking about, they realize everything in this world pales in comparison to who God is. That's why as we start off this first part, proclaim, I'm going to focus on this one thing, and the one thing is this. When we proclaim the name above every name, we spread God's fame. Amen? When we proclaim this name, this beautiful name that is above every single name, that is how we spread the fame of God, God's fame. I'm going to highlight two things in Psalm 145. If you haven't, please turn to Psalm 145. We're going to look at the whole chapter here. We're going to try to look through this quickly because I think the points are very clear as we talk about who God is. So Psalm 145. If you don't have a Bible, you can just kind of listen or read on with somebody next to you. You can ask them, can I share the Bible with you? Just make sure you turn off your notifications so you won't get a weird message, okay? All right. Two things to remember about proclaiming the name above every name to spread God's fame. The first is this. We must share about God's majesty. We must share about God's majesty. We notice that David is the writer of the psalm. David was the king. And we read this psalm and we see that David's understanding of God's majesty comes from his own experience of God. Let me just first help you to understand. You cannot proclaim something that you have not experienced. Or you could, but there won't be much conviction. I could explain to you and proclaim to you what bungee jumping is like. Or skydiving. I've seen videos. I've seen pictures. Skydiving, your face gets really distorted. But I won't be able to tell you from my experience. And there's like two separate things. So here's David writing the psalm, and it's coming from his understanding of the majesty of God. And we see that David talks about God's goodness, God's greatness, God's glory, God's grace. You'll see this, all the GGGG, you know what I'm saying? All of it right in here. Couple things we notice about God's majesty. First of all is this, that God's majesty is declared with praise. Let's go ahead and read verses 1-3. It says this, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. What we notice here is in God's majesty that he declares it with his praise. I want you to see here the word name. It appears two times in these verses. And when David is referencing to God's name, he is talking about the revealed attributes of God. So whenever he says your name, he's thinking about God's power. He's thinking about God's love, God's patience, God's justice, God's mercy. Whenever he talks about his name, he's talking about the attributes of God, things that he has experienced in his life. And it says that David will bless and praise God's name forever and ever and every single day. Can I just make sure that we understand this clearly? Praising God, declaring, proclaiming, is not something that he does when he feels like it. Rather, it's part of a daily routine in his life. It's like reading your Bible every single day. To make it part of who you are. If you make a decision, I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to find something, one thing before I go to sleep, something that I'm thankful for, something that God did. That is a decision you're making regardless of how you feel, regardless of what kind of day that you had. It's about perspective. So he will bless the Lord and praise the Lord every day. And God's greatness is unsearchable because it's limitless. This idea of you're not able to even comprehend it. That's why worship is such a big part of sharing God's majesty with others. Some of you who've been joining our church, you probably know that worship in life group is It's good. You know, so some of you probably have people who are doing their best, you know. One of them, I'm trying to do my best. Sometimes I sing it in the wrong key, so everyone's like, ah! You know, and all the guys are like tightening up their belt, like, ah! I mean, you know, there are moments when just things don't flow. But there's something powerful when the whole church gathers together and we're worshiping. We're singing songs together as a whole corporate body, compared to maybe 15 or so people singing. And that's why I believe whenever we worship, it is a wonderful opportunity to proclaim and to declare the majesty and the greatness of God. In our church, not just here in Hong Kong, but when we started back in 1996 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, I don't know how many testimonies that we have heard over the years of people coming to know Christ or sensing or feeling, experiencing or encountering the presence of God during worship times. They will come up afterwards and say, Pastor, I don't know why I'm crying. I go, I don't know either, but you have a mascara that's kind of, you know. Of course not, I don't say that. And I said, that's just the Spirit of God working in your life. Maybe he's convicting you of some sin or he's reminding you of something. He's gently embracing you and showing you who he is. I pray that we'll never come here and take things for granted. Let's give him our best worship. Amen. And as we begin to worship in our lives, I'm telling you right now, people will see the majesty of God. Some of you are like, oh, does that mean that we have to go to office and go, no, we have to start singing? No, please. Worship is not just singing songs, but it's also how you live your life. So those of you who are working, as a young professional, working professional, or maybe some of us with families, and we always have to go to work, and we're like, oh, work is so tired. The way you work, as you see it as a worship unto God, people will see the majesty of God. Same with your studies, those of you who are students. As you go to class faithfully. And by the way, if you don't want to go to class, you know you spend, I don't know how many Hong Kong dollars. If you like wasting money like that, please donate it to a good cause. Donate to our budget. Do something, right? Okay? So just remember that every time you sleep, that's money wasted. And if you do have that kind of money to waste, then you know where to send it for the glory of God. So every class you go to, every time you do your best, and that doesn't mean you have to get straight A's, because your best might be a B, and that's not bad. Do the best that you can. That becomes a worship unto God. That you're studying for a higher purpose. It's not just for a grade, but you're studying because God is preparing you for something. So God's majesty has to be declared, not only through praises, but how we live our lives. Another thing that we will notice is God's majesty is displayed in works. Look at verse 4 through 7 quickly here. Listen to what it says. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty. And on your wondrous works I will meditate. They will speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. What we notice here is David proceeds to talk about God's works, everything that he has done. Now, this is important. Whenever you hear this work of what God is doing, he starts using different phrases like mighty acts, wondrous works, or even awesome deeds. You will see this. It's all part of what God is doing in this world and in our lives. It conveys this idea of miracles, performing great things that draws attention. Your wondrous works, your mighty acts, your great deeds. That's why in verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says this, your all-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Does anything bring the sense of awe and inspiration into your life that God infuses in you throughout the day? Whether you see something, whether, like, you don't deserve that grade because you didn't study, you're watching Netflix, and all of a sudden you got the best score. You're not going to be like, I'm so good. You're going to be like, oh, Lord. How? When? Why? When somehow God is favorable towards you amongst all your coworkers. Or doors open up just as you're going shopping or doing something. Just something happens and you're just like, I had nothing to do with it. The awe-inspiring works and the deeds of God. The Message translation of verse 6 says, your marvelous doings are headline news. Come on. I could write a book. How many of y'all want to write a book? It says, I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. Headline news. See, that's what we're not proclaiming about ourselves. We're not talking about ourselves. It's about who He is, what He does, His mighty acts. One generation to the next generation will share about the awesome works that God has done. Why is this important? Too often we forget that all the miracles and all the great things that God has performed in our lives. Why is this important? Because we as human beings, we are forgetful by nature. I was just thinking about how important it is for us to start retelling our history of HMCC of Hong Kong. It's only been 3 years, but there's some of you who recently joined our church. You don't even know what happened the first 3 years. Unless you go to membership class. But even then, that's like a broad stroke. There were some incredible miracles and stories that all we can say, it was God that started this church. It was God who sustained it, God who grew it. Some of you who have life groups in your campus, you think it just popped up there. Ooh, oh, this is awesome. There was a story behind that. And if you don't know that story, you got to know it. One generation will tell another generation. They'll proclaim, declare to another generation what God has done. So once again, it's not about us. It's not about what we say. It's not about who we are, but it's about who God is. That's why I love Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 2. You know this. And as they were, the Israelites were in this situation and they cried out and said, oh Lord, I've heard of the report of you and your work, oh Lord. Do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In the wrath, remember mercy. Listen to these other translations. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. The NIV says this. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Oh Lord, renew them in our day, in our time, make them known in wrath, remember mercy. Like we heard about things, Lord, but in our day, renew these things, great things. That means that we have to tell the next generation. Those of you who are upperclassmen, you have to start declaring and spending time with these younger generations who are coming in and tell them just the things that God is doing. Those of us who are single adults, in the same way as you were part of college experience, to share and declare about what God has done and what He is doing. In the same way, those of us who are married and have kids, which one generation to the next, we're sharing about who God is. How about us? When was the last time we proclaimed God's greatness and the majesty to others? Do you know that every single day you have an opportunity to do that? And we have to take advantage of those times. One practical thing you can do, as I was thinking about this, is when there's good food. I always do this. I always go, oh my God, everyone stop. And they're just like, what's going on? I go, there must be a God. And then they're like, what? There must be a God to create some person to create this kind of delicious meal. I'm a believer. I mean, sometimes I say it half jokingly, but they're just like, you're crazy. But do you know that sometimes when you just give praise to God, not what you did, you didn't cook that food, you didn't do that, but when you see God working and say, wow, there must be somebody greater than me. It brings attention to God. We must share about God's majesty. And we do that, as I mentioned before, we do that by declaring and as God displays His works in our lives. The second and last point is this. We must not only share about God's majesty, but we must speak of God's mercy. that we must speak of God's mercy. Let me go ahead and read verse 8 through 13. Listen to what it says. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall live or give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all his works. In this next section, what I want you to see is that here's David once again is reiterating the character of God and all the works of God's hand. Even when you look at verse 8 and 9 again, we see that David highlights God's mercy. And then he proceeds and goes down in verse 13, we begin to see God's character. He is faithful to his words and kind in all his works. The New Living Translation says this, the Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all that he does. The NIV says this, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. He's trying to help people to understand that everything that God says he has fulfilled and he will fulfill. And all the things that he has made and things that he is doing, it shows you his mercy, his kindness, and his love. So he reiterates what he mentioned earlier in verses 1-7. And now, as he talks about speaking forth God's mercy, look at verse 14-21 in the closing section. He says this, starting for verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open their hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let my all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. When we think about God's mercy, when we think about God's grace, when we think about God's loving kindness to us, a lot of times it becomes something that's kind of like a nebulous thought, just something out there. It's like, yeah, God's gracious, he's merciful. But a lot of times we don't see that practically happening in our lives. And to you, if that's what you're thinking, I would say you're not thinking hard enough. You're not reflecting enough. So when we speak of God's, when we share God's majesty and speak of his mercy, what we're speaking about is everyday life and how God intervenes. I want you to look at verses 4, starting from verse 14-21. Just kind of peruse through it as I kind of highlight these things. We see that God, he upholds those who fall. How many times have we felt like we were getting pulled away or falling away, but God was holding you? When you were tempted to just turn away from, but somehow God brought somebody. You know, when you're about to sin, you're like, oh, and then someone comes and you're like, oh, you're like, hey. Like, he's upholding you. Another thing we see, he cares for us when we're down. When we're depressed, when we feel like no one really cares, when we're down, he lifts us up. He cares. He also shows here he's the provider. In our due season, he will provide everything that we need. That's why even as we've been talking as leaders, just what does it mean to be content in the life stage we're in? In due season. But we're always like, I want it now. Why is this happening? All my friends are doing this. But he knows. That's his loving kindness. If you got what you want now, it'll probably turn you away. It'll probably put you in bondage. So God, in his loving kindness and his mercy, he doesn't give you things when you want it and how you want it. Can I get a good amen to that? Amen. I think many of us can testify That there's so many things that we wanted and so many things that we needed or we thought we needed, and we realized like a couple years later or even like 5 years later, oh my God, if I got that, oh Lord, have mercy. That would have been bad. That's His kindness. That's His mercy towards you. He satisfies us. He is righteous in all His ways. He is near when we call upon His name. He hears our cry and rescues us. He preserves us. This is why, when you think about all these things that He mentioned in these seven some verses, you will notice that David, the more he thinks about who God is, the more he wants to praise Him. And not just him, but he says all flesh. That means all humankind. If people only knew how excellent and great and awesome you are, they will praise you. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3, in the ESV says, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God." Proclaiming that, declaring that, sharing that. How about us this morning? Do you know these character traits of God? Can you testify to them? Because that's what you're supposed to speak of. That's what you're supposed to share. That's what you're supposed to proclaim. I'm wondering if some of us are proclaiming more about ourselves rather than who God is. So the one thing, once again, is that when we proclaim the name above every name, that's when we spread God's fame. Here the next step says, I shared earlier, well, what we're going to do. Throughout this month, every single Sunday, we're going to have all of you do a practical application in light of what we're talking about. We're going to link this in with some of the application that will happen in life group. But it's something that we're just going to kind of introduce here on Sunday, but hopefully we can do this. And I think, I was just thinking, like, what can we do to really proclaim the excellencies of God, the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, and the grace of God, and the list goes on and on, and for all His provisions, for all the ways He watched over us, to all the ways that He has protected us from certain things and harm. And as I think, and I'm thinking, well, I mean, we could be writing, we could be doing things. And I said, what can we do in this generation? And then I realized, hello, these phones now are like powerful weapons for good, hopefully. Because these cameras are like, I don't know how many pixels, right? Some of you are operating on double-digit pixels now. The mega whatever pixel that you have in this picture that you take. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to challenge all of you, first of all, to take a picture this coming week, and hopefully you could kind of follow up in your life group, something of God's creation. I know some of you are like, is this a contest? Are we going to get an infinity stone? Are we going to, you know, what is this all about? No. It's just taking steps of obedience and trying to proclaim who God is, especially to a lot of your friends who are on social media that are not believers. Some are like, no, but this is my account. I only do food. No, this is my account. I don't talk about Jesus here. I have a separate account. And it's, I love Jesus, dot, dot, dot. You know, I don't know. Some of you are like that. You dichotomize. Okay, that's a whole different sermon. Dichotomizing your life, okay? I'll talk about that later. But I want to challenge you on that social media that all your 5,000 friends are on. Divide that by 500, that's how many friends you really have. But anyway, where all your friends are, it's proven, it's research, don't all me. Go do the research. They said really a person, average person has about 120 like people that they could actually call friends. Everything else, like 500 friends, 600 friends, they're all just people you met. OCR, hi, you know, hi. Like, look at me, 5,000 friends. Whatever. Get that dividing thing going, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to ask you to take a picture of God's creation. Now, be creative, like something that will to proclaim the greatness of God. Some of you are going to be waiting for that thunderstorm. Where's that lightning? Where's that lightning, you know? Or some of you, and you go to this, like they call it the Instagram pier, you know? I'm like, ooh, I want to go there. But whatever the case, maybe you're just walking. Some of you, you might want to plan it and say, oh, it's almost 6 o'clock, the sunset. I want to take a picture. This is a really good place. Some of you might be going hiking and say, here it is, you know, and take a picture. Whatever you're going to do, it does not matter. But I pray that you will be more aware of how great and awesome God is throughout the week. And we want you to take a picture. After you take the picture, we want you to write a verse or a phrase about God. Some of you, the only verse you know is in the book of John, and it's two words, Jesus wept. And so, like, some of you are like, I have no idea what verse. In fact, there's a new app. It's called Bible Lens. You take a picture and it gives you recommended verses. Some of you love doing that stuff. Don't be vain. You know, whatever the case. So write a verse or just a phrase. God, I proclaim your greatness. You're awesome. And then we just want you to include the hashtag HMCC Chosen Generation, because that's our Missions Month theme, and also add hashtag proclaim, because that's part one. We have some older people like, I don't want to do all that. Come on, let's get with it, okay? I know, honestly, as I was doing this, this is an honest confession. As I was preparing this message, I'll go, do I want to do this? And I just got convicted. I'm like, I know, like all the college students are like, oh, this is so cool. I have the perfect spot and you know, all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, do I have time? Do I want to do this? And I'm like, if I'm preaching it, I'm going to do it myself. But I use Twitter, so I'll post it on Twitter. So if you guys want to just keep me accountable, while I'm saying this publicly now, this coming week. And then we want you to lastly post it on social media, whatever media that you use. I want to kind of bring this back to a place where we can get a bird's eye view of all of God's creation. And I pray that we're going to watch this quick video of creation. And there's a song there that talks about creation's call. And I know some of these places you might have visited, some of these things you've never seen before, but I mean, when you think about the world and the vastness of it, it's just incredible. I pray that that will get us in the right perspective. And then afterwards, I want us to come together and let's worship God and declare and proclaim the greatness of who He is. This coming month, in Missions Month, as we are the chosen generation, I'm so excited for all the different parts that we're going to cover. And part of doing missions is not going thousands and thousands of kilometers away, but sometimes doing missions is right where you are and just opening your mouth and proclaiming the greatness and the goodness and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we watch this, let's close and let's believe by faith that everything He has created is for us to then worship Him and give Him all the praise and glory. Let's watch this together. Let's stand together, shall we, as we close. I'm looking forward to some of the pictures that some of you post. We'll work it out so that it's on our social media for our church. And like sometimes we just have to get out of this concrete jungle and just kind of, I mean, Hong Kong is such an incredible city. Not only do you have the city, the beautiful skyscrapers, but there's so much nature around. Sometimes you need to kind of get away and just realize how majestic and awesome He is. And then you realize you're not that great. God is. You're not so important that the whole world will stop for you. But that's the amazing part of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that while we were yet so sinful, self-centered, self-sufficient, self-protective, the God of the universe, so vast, so great, will look down on just one person, you. And not only does He provide, He cares. He shows you His goodness, His mercy. That's the part that amazes us. That's the part that should humble us. that a God so great can love someone like me, that he gives me a purpose, he gives me a reason to exist on this earth. And that means to live for his purposes, not your own. If you want to get quickly just self-centered and depressed and just thinking about yourself all the time and feeling like, well, I'm not good as that person, keep on focusing on yourself. But when you start gazing upon who God is and his greatness, I'm going to tell you right now, you will reach a whole new level of your walk with God. Can I challenge us, those of you who are believers, this coming week, let's redirect our attention to God and his greatness and his majesty so that we can share it and proclaim it. To those of us who've been coming to church, but we have never made a decision to be a Christ follower, it's not something just magically happens. You have to make that decision of faith because God is moving towards you as you have moved towards God. And today, before you leave, you could be absolutely certain that you are now a Christ follower. And if you were to die tonight, you will spend the rest of eternity with God. You can know this for sure. If you would just humble yourself, confess your sins. I feel like there's some of us who came today and you're just feeling very purposeless. Just no purpose in life. I'm sensing that some of us, maybe we're just going like, why am I here? Why do I exist? And to you, I just feel like the Lord is saying that you were created for something more. If you would just put your eyes on Jesus and just worship him, I believe you're going to find a greater purpose. We are the chosen generation to proclaim the goodness and the greatness of God in our generation. This is how we get involved in God's mission. It will bring pleasure to him. It will glorify him. Let's make that our goal as we study, as we work, as we are parents, as we are doing all these things, friends, that we will be able to proclaim who God is. And through that, even inviting them to community, out to Sunday, wherever, whatever activities you're having, so they can taste it themselves. Taste and see that God is good. So Heavenly Father, right now, I just pray in the name of Jesus, just all over this room, as we have seen the wonders of your creation and who you are. Thank you, Lord, that even though we're really nothing compared to your vastness and greatness, that you do love us. You care for us, Lord. Who are we, Lord, that you are so mindful of us? And as it humbles us to know that a God so great can love people like us, I just pray that we'll respond appropriately. And that is in worship and praise to you. And this coming week, help us to proclaim. Some of us, we have to take a little step. Maybe just posting a picture and just saying God is good. Something simple so that even though that's frightening for some of us, we could take that first step. For others of us, a little bit more bold, we can do other things to declare who you are. Lord, may this week be a week of experiencing more of your heart. We are the chosen generation to proclaim to the ends of this earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm just going to ask us for the next 30 seconds, can you think about one trait of God? If you can't think of anything, just think about his creation, that he's a creator. Just one trait of God, maybe his kindness, his goodness, his forgiveness, his patience, whatever you experience this week, that you will just spend maybe just 20, 30 seconds just saying, God, I praise you. I proclaim, I declare who you are. This is who you are, and I've experienced it. Thank you for being with me this week and being patient. And I would love this room to be filled with these kind of praises, all being lifted up to God. Can we just do that? Can we fill this room with those kind of praises? And then we'll lift up praises of song and let's declare it throughout this building for the glory of God. So next 30 seconds, let's just do that right now.